Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay. Imperial troops have entered.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Echo Base. This is number 134, recording this on Monday, February 26, 2018, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Eric and Tim. Eric, how are you this evening?
Where is my Last Jedi novelization?
It's coming.
It is almost freaking March, and I still don't have a novelization for the movie.
The movie's not out yet, so on home video, so you got time.
Oh, it's not out on home video yet.
Yeah, they're, okay. They'll get it before one of the releases comes out. So,
That makes
other than
it
that,
okay.
Are you doing well? Are you okay?
yeah.
It is kind of frustrating not to have that out already.
It really is. But it's coming soon, and that's good. I'm excited for its release, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we still have to talk about some other books that we haven't talked about that you wanted to.
Nah.
No, you don't? No.
You know, it's one of those things where I've had enough other things to rant about recently. Between today's Short Circuits episode that I did, and then the whole thing with the tech support for my son's Nintendo Switch referring me to an automotive mechanic, and then separately a lawnmower repair shop, I kind of feel like I'm good for a few more weeks with the rants.
Okay.
So I don't really think we have to cover from a certain point of view right away. But we'll get
sure.
to it.
And Tim and I just want to talk about it because it's a good book.
It is. You know what? It is. It props things up on my shelf better than probably any other book I have right now.
Oh,
it does. It functions really well as a book, physically speaking. I mean, I'm not speaking to the content here, but like as a book, it's really good.
So Tim, save us from this negativity. Are you doing well? Are you better than Eric?
I am doing well. I had a wonderful day today, and I'm very happy and energetic. And
awesome.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about some awesome Star Wars stuff.
Do we have some of that today?
Yeah, because we're not covering from a certain point of view.
Hush.
We've got positive stuff. We've got lots of cool stuff this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Okay. Well, we do. So I'm excited to talk about that. I'm excited to talk about a certain point of view when we get to it. I'm excited to talk about the Last Jedi novelization when it comes up. All this stuff is good stuff we have. Let's get right into it, though.
Indeed.
A certain somebody who is, in the movies and has done some stuff since the original trilogy is going to finally get a star in a Walk of Fame.
Harrison Ford's finally going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Doesn't he already have one?
Oh, Billy Dee Williams is finally going to get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Try again.
Lou Secchi is finally going to get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
He might even have one before this guy.
No, this guy's getting one.
Alec Guinness has one. Laura Dern has one. Dennis Muren, the effects guy from ILM, has one. Who else could, at this point, have a Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame by now?
Well, I mean, certainly this one actor. This kind of threw me because I didn't realize he didn't have a.
It must
star
be like a bit actor, like some like cameo walk-on or something.
You'd think, wouldn't you? But no. It's none other than Luke Skywalker himself. Mark Hamill is finally getting a star in the Walk of Fame. I mean, he's only done a couple of things. He's not really well known. I guess.
So the guy.
Why did it take him so long? What happened? What.
The whole original trilogy was about this guy.
Yeah.
Voice acting. The guy did one of the most iconic character voices in the history of voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed it took this long.
The lead in one of the biggest films in cinematic history. And Harrison Ford has one. Billy Dee Williams has one. Laura Dern has one. Dennis Muren has one. And all, listen, Dennis Muren deserves one. The guy is, first of all, he's a nice guy. Second of all, he is brilliant. But how does Dennis Muren get one when Mark Hamill gets skipped over?
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
One of those really weird things.
It's interesting that they're marking this as the 2,630th star on the Hall of Fame, or the Walk of Fame.
I mean,
how long have they been doing this for? Do you know when they started doing the stars?
I don't.
I'm putting you guys in the spot. I don't know either. But I mean, it's been since the 30s and 40s, right? I mean,
I'm not even sure it's been that long ago.
Okay.
No.
I mean, that they started doing a lot of the people who first had them were actors and actresses from the 30s and 40s, I think. But I don't think it was actually in the 30s that it started. I will also point out that there's a lot of controversy about it because allegedly you can just about buy one.
Really?
If you have a project and you're willing to throw enough money at it, at getting the star, you can.
So it's one of those pretty things much, now, huh?
Right. I mean, I couldn't buy one, but as long as you're like a recognizable name and you're willing to pay for the ceremony and the star and all that, they will give you one. Now, I'm not saying that that's what Mark had to do. There are some where they initiate it and they get the ball rolling. But my understanding is you can kind of get the ball rolling yourself in a lot of cases.
Interesting.
1958.
There you go.
Okay.
So this is well deserved, and by the way, just to clarify, I have no doubt that Mark didn't go out of his way to get this. Everything I know about Mark would indicate he's not that kind of guy. But I mean, talk about well deserved.
Oh yeah,
it's about freaking time, people.
Certainly.
So good for him.
Definitely good for him. So we talked about the Last Jedi novelization coming out next week, I guess, right? Because we are, so a week from tomorrow, as we're recording this, probably less than a week when you get this on your podcast catcher.
What? Can I back us up a quick moment here?
Okay.
I happen to be on the Walk of Fame website, and so I was looking at the information they had in here for Mark Hamill. Guest speakers for Hamill's dedication will be Harrison Ford and George Lucas.
Really? Yep.
Yes.
Okay, yep. That's cool.
This will be happening Thursday, March 8th at 11:30 a.m. And it will be live streamed exclusively on walkofame.com.
I want to know what Harrison Ford has to say. I'm sure he'll get up there.
So, Mark.
he's been in some movies, and it's about time, and now he's got a star. Thanks.
And then that's it. He's just going to walk away.
It's been an honor being here. Have a nice day. And then he'll turn around and walk off.
You know,
he's not exactly the most loquacious of speakers.
True. But you know, since we're still here on the Walk of Fame thing again, you look through the list, it's amazing how many people have stars that not even in the Star Wars universe, but just other actors and actresses. You're like, okay, they're not nearly as iconic as Mark Hamill is. How do they get one first? You know, it's like the level of their.
Like when Pauly Shore has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and Mark Hamill doesn't. I don't know, but it would not surprise me to find out. If you want to do a search real quick,
Dwayne The Rock Johnson got his on December 13th last year.
Who did?
Did he really?
Dwayne Johnson.
No.
No kidding.
All due respect to The Rock, but no, right. Not before Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Does Jack Black have one? See, I'm sure there's some goofball actor out there who's like, that's his shtick, and he probably has one, and Mark Hamill doesn't.
No Jack Black.
No Jack Black. No Pauly Shore.
Okay, no Pauly Shore either. We're gonna like totally derail the show.
We're going to do this.
we're keeping this on time tonight, so we shouldn't go.
Yeah. Further. All right. So something about a book.
Yeah. So The Last Jedi novelization coming out March 6th. So little less than a week from when you get this podcast. Why it took so long, I wish I knew, but we're just getting bits and pieces that are leaking out about this thing. So the biggest thing I think that I've seen in the last couple of days was the part about Luke being married. This is going to drop in this book. This is amazing to me. This is getting some of the canon stuff that we wanted from before in canon now, right? I mean, this is a good show.
He's not actually married in the book. There's a scene where he's thinking back to the sands of Tatooine, standing there looking out over the dunes with his wife. That's kind of how the reference goes. So there's not a scene in the book with his wife, apparently.
Right.
It's referencing. It's
more of just referencing the fact that he was married at some point. I assume we're going to get a name. I would hope.
Who knows?
If they don't, it's going to be really unsatisfying.
You see, I hate to throw a wrench in the works here. But I'm going to however you guys. Oh, well, actually, there has been some more news come out about it earlier today. This was from Screen Rant. And normally, while they have one of the most ad-ridden websites in the world, and it really annoys me, their reporting is normally pretty good. Apparently, this is a scene where Luke is kind of daydreaming. And the way they read it is that the intent is supposed to be he's reflecting back on what his life would have been if he had stayed on Tatooine. And so he's, you know, it's the whole wife and the family and all of that kind of stuff. They said that it's being taken out of context in a lot of the reporting that's going on right now.
Interesting.
Now, they could be wrong too, though. But it does put a little bit of a grain of salt aspect into this whole thing. Now, Leland Chi also pointed out that we are going to have some big reveals of Legends characters coming into the new expanded universe very soon. So you've kind of got competing theories going on here. And for now, I'm going to go with what Screen Rant said until I hear otherwise, because it seems, given the context that they kind of provided, it seems like it's more likely that it might be that. But I don't know. If it is a wife and it's not Mara Jade, you think the Benioff and Wise internet blow up was bad?
Yeah.
People are gonna lose it.
Yeah.
They will lose it.
Especially since they've been waiting so long to hear this. They've been I'm sure there's been a change.org petition to have Mara Jade brought into canon.
But literally, I think there has been.
Yeah, I'm sure there has. Yeah. So it's just, you know, if we don't get that, if it's something different, people are gonna just lose it.
Her name turns out to be like Juliet O'Hara or something. I think I just named a character from Psych. If it turns out to be some like weird, you know, Deborah such and such, then yeah, people will
instead of Mara Jade to be like Mary Jem or something.
Yeah,
really
there
pissed,
you go.
Really piss people off.
Mary Ruby.
Oh boy. Well, so we don't have much longer to wait. I am going to, after we get done with this show, I'm going to log on to my account at Audible and pre-order it so that it gets on my phone that morning and I can start listening to it. So I'm excited.
Oh, you know what? Now that you mentioned it, and I don't want to hijack the show, so I'll look it up on my own here, but I just pre-ordered it like as we were starting to hit the record button here, and I didn't check to see who narrates it. Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Okay. I'm hoping it's Mark Thompson. It is Mark Thompson. Yes.
Good.
All right. The best Luke Skywalker voice ever.
Definitely.
Talk about needing a star, a Hollywood star of fame. Just saying, Mark Thompson should be right up there.
He can get one. Just have to put a petition in for it.
I'll have to talk to him next time I see him at a convention or something. Next time we have him on the show. We got to get him
on the show.
Speaking
of sticking to the show notes.
Lou, you need to make sure that we stick to the show notes by getting Mark Thompson on the show so that we can have Mark Thompson in the show notes so that we can stick to them.
I'll work on that. I'll try to retroactively have that in the show notes. Oh, my God.
Well, no, I mean for a future episode. You think I'm joking. I want Mark back on the show.
We will get him. We will try. Tim, get on that.
I what I will actually get on is the next topic.
Let's do it then. bring us there, Tim. Bring us there.
All right. So an upcoming novel that's going to be released here. It's a Han and Lando novel called Last Shot. I think we talked about it a little bit in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a marketing email that I received yesterday or the day before from Random House on it. And it has a little bit of text to it to kind of talk about what the book is about. It's really interesting. It makes in the last paragraph, a reference to, it says, with the assistance of a young hotshot pilot, mm-hmm. an Ewok slicer prodigy.
Wait, you mispronounced that. It couldn't have said Ewok, right? I mean,
Wookie? Wookie slicer?
Wookie, yeah, prodigy. They're furry. They look alike, yeah. Maybe it's
technologically advanced.
Slicer.
Yeah. I'm
pretty, Ewok? Really? Come on.
I mean, my pronunciation might be off, but E-W-O-K, as far it's a typo. As I know, is those little furry dudes that
it's a punctuation. Wait, young hotshot pilot, comma, an Ewok sliced, comma, prodigy, comma. No, wait, no. No, 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 no. How can this possibly, like, I'm all for bringing in some diverse aliens and all of this kind of stuff. And I thought that the Ewok gag from the Rogue Squadron books, or was it Wraith Squadron? From the X-Wing series was brilliant.
Yeah.
But it was a prank played by the characters. Rogue Squadron. Was it Wraith Squadron?
Rogue Squadron. No, it was Rogue Squadron.
Okay, yeah. And it was kind of a prank that they were doing. And it was kind of meta in the sense that they were talking about how ridiculous it would be to have an Ewok capable of piloting a starfighter. This is... Yep. No, this is so implausible within the rules of this universe.
Yeah.
So implausible. I mean, just an Ewok being off planet is a stretch already. But this is so far beyond the realm of making any basic level of common sense.
Just an Ewok being somewhere in, like, you know, a technological society is bizarre. But then making a slicer on top of it.
Ewok being able to operate a data pad.
Yeah,
to check the weather. No.
Right.
Does the Empire not being have a slicer, invasive like, species what? Rules? Like you can't transport things across the border because they could be harmful to other things. You can't transport Ewoks.
Probably that same thing. Like you bring a dog into the UK, it's got to be quarantined for 6 months. Same thing.
Exactly.
You quarantine Ewok for 6 months, then you can bring him out.
Well, see, someone screwed up. They quarantined the Ewok and they gave him something to do. They gave him a data pad. All of a sudden, he's like.
Now he's got a master's degree in code slicing.
Yeah.
No.
I don't get that one at all.
Listen, I will go back and personally digitally edit out all of the porgs from your copy of The Last Jedi, Tim, if you can get this stopped before the book releases. This is I've never used this word before in the context of Star Wars. This is an abomination. There's not a single thing in Star Wars that has ever been as ridiculous as this. Even Jax the Rabbit. Jackson the Rabbit? Was it Jackson?
Jackson.
I could explain that away. Better than X's. I can explain this.
I will tell you, if there's anything that it really compels me to buy this book, it's now because I have to read about how they actually made this Ewok slicer thing happen. I want to read the justification for an Ewok computer genius.
This is the best attempt I can make here, folks. If it's not like a clone where it's a body of an Ewok and they somehow infused it with the brain of anything else, then just no.
But you know, this makes Jar Jar make sense. This means
and you look
Anakin's
down and you
little
go,
yippee comment as he jumps off of the counter in the Phantom Menace makes sense. This makes C-3PO's jokes at the end of Attack of the Clones look like Robin Williams at his best. This is. I wasn't supposed to have any rants this episode. This is not fair.
Yeah, you're ranting, and I'm right there
with
you.
How can you not? And it's an Ewok slicer. Not just an Ewok slicer, an Ewok slicer prodigy. God's gift to slicers is an Ewok.
This is pretty much an Echo Base. What were they thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tim.
But so Last Shot, I actually don't know when Last Shot is releasing.
I don't think they've released a date yet for that.
No.
Okay. It's supposed to be out before the Solo movie.
Oh, is it? Okay. I wasn't sure.
That was the direct implication made by the publisher. So it's not technically official, because for it to be official, they'd have to have an actual release date, which I don't think has been made official. But my understanding is they've been telling everybody behind the scenes, these books will be out by the time Solo releases, except the comic for Lando will start the Wednesday following the movie's release.
Actually, can I completely counter all the information you just said?
Yes, please do, because mine might be outdated by now.
April 17th. According to the Random House website. Okay,
but that, other than not having a release date, that is still, I mean, it's before the movie comes out.
The Spin Master.
So by April 18th, I am going to have the most explosive Star Wars rant posted that I have ever had ever in the history of ever.
Hey, we'll see where it goes.
I'm
looking forward to it. I am totally going to probably buy this book and not even leave the bookstore. I'm just going to flip through it until I find something that says Ewok and read everything about the Ewok. I'm probably not even going to read the rest of the story. And I'm just going to look for Ewok.
So help me, if you text me a picture of a page from the book from the bookstore, I will personally come through the internet and do something that's really bad that I'm so frustrated right now I can't even come up with.
I'm actually looking forward to the comic adaptation of this, so we have imagery of Ewoks.
No, we don't want imagery of that. It's funny, because before you put this in the show notes, Tim, I was actually really looking forward to The Last Shot, because I thought it sounded like a great novel. The story sounded, I mean, as much as I don't really think we need a Solo movie, this book sounded great. I'm like, okay, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Until we got the Ewok prodigy.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a comedy.
Oh,
it's so ridiculous. I love it.
I might have to take back the bad things I said about the Blue Milk story, the Aunt Beru story, from a certain point of view, because just the concept of this is so ridiculous.
I still don't see how you don't like that book. Anyways,
we'll get to that later.
Okay, so you guys are familiar with the Wilhelm scream, right? It's the scream that's been in movies since, like, the dawn of film. That's the one. Yeah,
that's the one right there.
That one right there.
And now it's in our podcast. Awesome.
Yeah.
It sticks out like a sore thumb now. It's that you can almost, I mean, I can almost pick it up almost every movie I hear it in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just so prominent now. It's like, oh, there it is, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
I'll usually elbow my wife when I hear it in the middle of a movie. And
she must hate that.
She has no idea why I'm elbowing her. Right. And then, you know, sometimes it'll come up in conversation later. What did you elbow me for? The Wilhelm scream.
Of course. there was a story on, let's see, what was it from? MakingStarWars.net. And I'm not sure where they got this from. ABC News, I guess, was interviewing Matthew Wood. And he was saying that they've kind of gotten rid of it from the new Matchup movies. And going forward, they're going to use something else. And they're not letting on too much about what this scream is. They said they've used it in Rogue One. And was it used anywhere else? What did they say here?
In
this film, Last Jedi, and Rogue One. But they're not saying where. It's their own little calling card. It's been in other movies as well outside of Star Wars. So now this is. It feels like it's a challenge to pick this out.
I'm going to have to watch Rogue One and listen for every scream and analyze each and every one.
and then when Last Jedi comes out on DVD, pretty soon you can start doing it there too and compare them.
But really, why get rid of the Wilhelm scream? It's classic. It's been in use since 1951.
It feels a little bit like the whole, I've got a bad feeling about this, because it's so prominent when you hear it. And you can't unhear it. It's like, oh, okay.
It's, let's see, as of, from IMDb, let's see, from a reference about a year ago, so as of January 2017, the Wilhelm scream has been used in 372 movies and television series.
Sounds
370. Actually, I thought it would be a lot higher than that.
See, I'm okay with, I assume it's ILM coming up with this, and it's them using it in the other Star Wars, non-Star Wars movies as well. I'm okay with it. I mean, they're doing their own thing, and I mean they're ILM.
Well, it's great. Good that they're doing something new. I think it's awesome. Yeah, I'd like something new.
Secret Easter egg branding. That's kind of cool.
The irony of it is, even though this came from a television or film, I'm sorry, Distant Drums in 1951, it didn't come into use in the pop culture lexicon until Star Wars. Ben Burr actually adopted this and brought it into Star Wars. So the first time it was used really in within the pop culture lexicon was when Luke Skywalker shot the stormtrooper off the ledge,
right,
in the Death Star. And then since then, it ended up in Indiana Jones and a bunch of other movies. So it really, while it didn't come from a Star Wars film, it hit its popularity. It hit its stride in a Star Wars film.
Oh, so see, I didn't realize that. I mean, I didn't realize it started in 77. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sound effect. If they want to get rid of it or discontinue using it, I guess that's fine. It's not like everyone's going to discontinue using it. It's still going to be out there.
Right.
But it just kind of seems odd that they're specifically making a big deal out of it and saying, well, we're not going to use that anymore. Instead, we're going to use this other one.
Well, I think they're probably responding to people saying, hey, where is it? I mean, right. It's a Star Wars movie where I've got a bad feeling about it, and you have the Wilhelm scream. So where is it? So it might be that they're responding to it because they've been confronted about it. But I guess to me, what makes it cool using the Wilhelm scream is the fact that it came from such a long period ago, a different era of Hollywood, and it's still being used in pop culture films today. That kind of, this vintage, fine wine that's being thrown in there, I think has always been kind of a cool throwback.
But it's always seemed kind of strange to me that they used that scream. I mean, it's not what I would consider a great scream. I mean, not that I'm a connoisseur of screams, but
well, it's like, that's probably exactly it. That's probably why they're going to something else. I mean, you're right, Lou.
It's kind of become the running gag. It's a little tongue in cheek. It's very noticeable when particularly if you have an ear for it, it's a very noticeable thing. And I mean, I hope it does still see a lot of continued use across other movies and TV shows. I'm sure that it will.
I'm sure it will be in a lot of stuff. But
like you said, because it's a running gag, I think people do have an ear for it. And then it's kind of like, oh, hey, there it is.
Right.
I mean, at what point does that, I think it's subtle enough. It's not really distracting, but Lou, I think you really hit on it too. It's not the world's greatest screen effect. So
I'm pretty sure it's been used in Rebels also.
Oh, probably.
I seem to remember picking up on it being in some Rebels episodes. So.
Well, I'm interested to see what they do new and how quickly somebody picks up on the new scream and we keep hearing that one now. So that'll be fun. I mean, like Eric said, it's kind of an Easter egg to look at and see.
Yeah.
Are either one of you guys still playing the Force Collection?
No.
Nope.
Really?
I'm so surprised.
I don't think I even ever started playing Force Collection.
I think downloaded it and played it once or twice.
There was one of these games that I started playing that it was more of kind of an action-y sort of game. Justin Bolger got me hooked on it. And I don't even remember what the name of it was. That one was okay, but all of these other games and the Topps card collecting thing,
right?
I find them to be such a money sink that I'm not willing to put the money into it for the sake of getting this virtual fulfillment that just doesn't count to anything. I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
So I stopped this and a lot of the other games a long time ago. And, Disney Interactive isn't doing games anymore. They're outsourcing everything. So it was only a matter of time before these shut down. There was another Star Wars game similar to it that shut down, I think, last year. The Disney Infinity platform, which was doing really, really well, that shut down when Disney Interactive closed.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, this is not a surprise. Honestly, I'm surprised it's still around. But yeah, no, this sort of thing, this is not what I want to see the legacy for Star Wars gaming on mobile ending up becoming.
But, you know, I mean, to date, there really has not been a good mobile game. And not just in Star Wars, in a lot of stuff. I mean, there hasn't been really anything that really keeps you. They're all trying to make money on these things. And obviously, I know that's the right name of the game. But it's, you know, I don't want to pay for this kind of stuff. I don't want to pay microtransaction things. I'm not going to wait 2 days to play my next move because I've used up all my credits or whatever.
Yeah. Match 3 game that came out last year or the year before that's kind of tied into The Force Awakens a little bit. It wasn't too bad. There's a little bit of a, you know, you burn through so much energy and you have to wait for it to replenish, but it's pretty generous about it. And the gameplay itself is pretty challenging. And, you know, that one was okay. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, you're right, Lou.
And I wish it was different. I really do. I wish there was something that would keep me entertained, and I'd even pay $20 for a game. I'd rather pay for a good game up front, like I would if it was on a console or on my computer. Just not make me do microtransactions to get, you know, the next play out. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. So,
the best Star Wars game on mobile so far has been the port of Star Wars: The Old Republic. I'm sorry, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that was well worth the, $10 or something it cost?
Don't remember.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the reason why I bring this up is because they are shutting this game down. End of April, I think it was April 23rd, was it? Was that the date they had put on there?
I think so.
Trying to scan it real quick here.
I mean, stop playing now.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop playing now.
You're still playing it. Why? But anyway,
if you're still putting money into it, especially.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of things shutting down, the Smuggler's Bounty from Funko is shutting down September for Star Wars stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bummer. I haven't heard anything as to why. I'm assuming it's maybe enrollment's down, or, you know, they didn't get the subscription numbers they wanted to from this. But I mean, I subscribed to it. I just don't have the room for more stuff. And if I'll get yelled at. But, you know, it's just
I kind of like it mainly because, I mean, some of the Funko dolls that the Funko Pop figurines, I should say, that come through it are pretty good. There are some that I just have zero interest in, but I get a T-shirt every box. And
right. I mean, there's good stuff
in the
boxes.
I wear the heck out of the T-shirts, like, constantly. So for me, that's always been a good thing. And then I'd say one out of every three boxes that show up end up being something that I'm really interested in for the actual Funko Pop figurine.
But, you know, I think you hit right ahead there. One out of three boxes is something you're interested in, and it's one box every other month.
Right.
So, you know, two boxes a year, you're thinking, wow, I guess I'm really cool. And yet you're paying... Is it $20 a month? Is it $20 a box?
Or 40? About $20 a box. But again, I mean, the T-shirt alone you'd pay $15 for anywhere. And it's a good quality T-shirt. I mean, it's lightweight, but all of mine have held up really well.
Mm-hmm.
So the Funko Pop figure is something that I don't always care as much about. But then I also only collect the things that I'm specifically interested in. If you're a completionist, all of these are exclusives. Right. So, but not anymore. And apparently they're going to do some sort of a retail thing. And I think maybe it's because, as you said, Lou, I have to wonder if the subscription rates have been enough to justify whatever amount of money it costs to do these production runs of figurines that you're only going to use one time for a very, very small subset that end up being exclusives that you can't, I mean, the molds for these, you can't reuse them anywhere else. So the kind of the R&D cost of it. Yeah,
but,
so to speak.
But I think they do reuse their molds, though, right? They'll reuse the same mold with a different coloration on a figure, or some of them are like those.
Some of them are color variants. Glitter
and see through almost and translucent. Right. Where, so they get their money's worth out of the molds, but
I think there have been a couple. Well, even if there have been a couple exceptions, you're right. The most of them, they are just color variants or things like that.
But so. It just seems like everything they do is exclusive. I've never been a huge collector of the pop figurines, but it seems like every one of them is an exclusive of some sort, whether it's in a store or at a convention or, and if you're into them, hey, that's great. I collect stuff that I'm sure people aren't into either, but it just seems like there's so many things to collect. You could never be a completionist with Funko.
No,
there's no way.
And that's
way.
The hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I did not read this next story you guys have in here about the next animated series. Who wants to take this for me?
I can. So apparently Star Wars Resistance is something that that particular name is something that has been filed for trademark by Lucasfilm.
Okay.
And oftentimes before heading into developing a certain property, Lucasfilm, along with same way a lot of other studios do, they will file for a pretty much a whole litany of trademarks around whatever this key name or phrase is. And apparently from the articles that I'm reading is that they have followed a pattern very similar to what they have done with other animated properties, such as Rebels and Forces of Destiny and the Clone Wars, things like that, and kind of making sure that they have exclusive use of this for anything involving television and comic books and novels and other related things, so they can kind of branch out from that. So obviously there's a lot of speculation that Resistance may very well be the name of the next animated series. And of course, this puts us into the kind of sequel trilogy time period, maybe just before the sequel trilogy. So, we've seen particularly with the Clone Wars and with Rebels that Lucasfilm has used animated series to cover some of these gaps between films and to help develop characters and settings and storylines. And certainly for the time period prior to The Force Awakens, despite a handful of novels being out there, there's still an awful lot of mystery surrounding, what happened and how things settled with the New Republic and how the Resistance formed and exactly why the Resistance formed. We know in very general terms why it did, but we don't really have a lot of specifics on it. We don't know how there's a lot of things that we're missing in there. So it could certainly be, I think, some really good opportunity for them to develop something with that. So, it's obviously to be announced formally, what it's going to be and when it's going to be. This could be at, announced at D24. It could be announced at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Some kind of event like that is where I would expect more than likely this kind of news to be announced later this year.
If they do a series, like you said, that kind of leads into it, I would love to have this series deal with the beginning of the Resistance. That would fill in that gap that I've been looking for forever from, what happened from, Jedi through The Force Awakens.
Totally agree.
That would be fantastic. Well,
and I think as to not overlap with the films too much, they'd almost have to. Unless they're focusing on other cells of the Resistance somewhere else. But even then, starting with the foundation of it, the forming of it, allows them to then, as they continue, they can go off into other cells without overlapping with the films over time, too. So I think that makes a lot of sense. But it's interesting that they've associated this trademark with so many different forms of media, books, toys, video games, etc. It's obviously something that's going to be I mean, we're not talking another mobile game here.
No,
right.
No.
Right.
And so that's good. I how do you guys feel about having something in the Resistance instead of a continuation of Rebels? Or, well, and keep in mind too that we were told we're going to get multiple series. Number one, mm-hmm. number yeah. two, the timing is interesting because Rebels is ending. We know that there will be other animated series as well, in addition to a live action series. The timing would suggest to me that this is probably them laying the groundwork for the next animated series.
Yeah.
I don't expect this to be the live action series personally.
No, I don't either.
But do you guys think it's good to cover that particular time period, or would you yeah. rather have seen something else? You think it's good, Tim?
Yeah, I absolutely think it's good. I mean, this is a, like I mentioned, this is a gap that we know very little about. And I think they can cover a lot of ground and accomplish a lot and fill in a lot of those spaces for us with an animated series. You know, we have precedent for Leia showing up in animated series. We have some really talented voice actresses that have done Leia. So hopefully, considering that it is the Resistance and she is the leader of the Resistance, that we're going to see a big part for Leia in this kind of as a lead. I cringe a little bit that, you know, if it is going to be about the Resistance, that we're going to see some Poe. I am not a big fan of Poe, but I think
I was
up until I think they could make him month. A fun character, though, in an animated series. I think they would kind of take some of that edge off of him. They would capitalize on his comedic aspect that he's certainly shown in the two films. And they could potentially then, you know, also capitalize on his piloting skill and really have a lot of cool space battles and that kind of stuff like we've seen out of Hera and in Rebels. So, yeah. you know, I think there's a lot of potential there. And it would just be great to see some other characters brought in. I mean, we still have with us, you know, Admiral Akbar and other characters that we've seen in the sequel trilogy that can definitely be involved in something like this.
Well, and we could see the background for Laura yeah. Santeca. And now yeah. I have not read the Poe Dameron comic books, so I don't know how much of that's already been covered. And presumably this would take place well before that comic book series too.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things you could dive into, and just it just
yeah.
makes me excited to think where they're going to go. You know, what are we going to get to see? And unfortunately, I mean, too often we've had that thought in our head, and we get stuff that doesn't dive into it nearly as deeply as we'd like it to. That's all I'm worried right. about.
And mm-hmm. hopefully this.
I think that, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels have both done a good job of filling in those gaps where they needed to be filled in.
Yeah.
You know, granted, they're a kid's show and they're not quite as heavy as I think we'd like them to be as adults, but they do a good job. I mean, they are filling in the details and getting to know what's going on where. I mean, Rebels especially was much more sophisticated, I thought, than Clone Wars.
Clone Wars yeah. got there late in the series, I think. Early on, Clone Wars was a little rough, and that's why I had a hard time getting into it. But yeah, I think Rebels, well, and early on, I felt like Rebels was a little bit shallow in season one, but it picked up. And I think that even despite being a kid's film, or a kid's series, the lore was heavy. Even if the tone wasn't necessarily heavy, yeah. the lore was heavy. The foundation of the rebellion, mm-hmm. I thought they really set some good groundwork there with Rebels. And then, of course, with Clone Wars, they filled in the entire war.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. the movies basically, okay, here's the beginning and credits. And then the next movie is like, hey, and here's the right, last bit of the right. war. It's yeah, like, wait a minute. So you're right, Lou. I think they did a really good job of filling things in. And this is a good opportunity maybe for us to get what we've been complaining about not having for the last 3 years of covering Star Wars content, is that context of what's going on in the universe. And especially if they can, like with Rebels, it was a little tough to just see Lothal.
Yeah.
And eventually they branched out. They did other things with Resistance. If they can do that, if they can really give us glimpses of all of these different awesome. Worlds and what the state of the Republic is right now. Yeah. That would be awesome. That's I think that's what we really need right now, to feel like we once felt about knowing what's going on in the universe. I think that's, I mean, we've said it before. That's the hardest thing about being a Star Wars fan with the new canon right now, is we went from having 10, 20, 30 years of real world time of fully understanding the universe to now having this big significant gap where we don't know what the heck's going on. And even now with the current stuff, we know what's going on in a very small part of it, but that's it. So yeah, this could be a big deal.
Yeah. And I would be, I think a lot of fans would be a little more, well, more than a little, I think they'd be significantly more satisfied with the new films, the direction that we're going in the new films, and all the things kind of associated with the sequel era, if they were able to fill that gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens a little bit better. You know, we've had some books in there that have gotten us somewhere, but you know, I'm actually a fan of the Chuck Wendig books. I thought they were good. But they were so character focused that they were very, very narrow books. They didn't tell us a lot about the broader,
that was my complaint too,
galaxy and a lot of things that was going on. So
there was very little
context outside those characters.
We kind of got the expectation from the promotional material going into the trilogy, and sadly some of the book covers with the Millennium Falcon being really prominent on the second one, and et cetera, that it was going to, our expectations were set that we were getting something different from what we were getting. If we were told, hey, here is a trilogy about four new characters and how they fit into things in Star Wars, that would have been different. We would have had our expectations set accordingly, and it would have been okay. But instead, I think we all walked into it thinking, you know, Journey to the Force Awakens, this is going to be, you know, the aftermath trilogy. This is going to be the aftermath of Return of the Jedi and the Fall of the Empire. We're going to learn what that aftermath is.
And we didn't get anything close.
So I think it was a marketing faux pas too.
Well, and what I'm hoping they're going to do is also be able to capitalize on some of those characters that were really developed in the Aftermath trilogy, because really the only one that we saw, any of the new characters that we saw come about in the films was Snap Wexley.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw him very briefly in The Force Awakens. So he's another character that they could certainly incorporate into an animated series, especially if he's a pilot. But I think that there are also some other characters that really seem to fit very well and very prominently within that trilogy.
Need Mr. Bones.
I think we do too. That they could really expand upon and give a more connected story arc to between what we know, between what we know and what we know, you know, and being able to bridge that gap in there.
Well, and that's a nice thing. It gives them the opportunity to do that character coverage while also giving us the lore coverage.
Exactly.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing I'd like to see them do as well, and I know it doesn't work with the whole Resistance name, but I would love to see something from the Empire's point of view. And I'm not trying to be an Empire lover here like I usually do, but I think it would be interesting to see the world from someone on that side. I mean, they all didn't think they were evil, of course. I mean, some of them are, we know. But, you know, the average people in the Empire, I don't think they think they're evil, right? They think they're doing their duty in supporting the Empire. I would love to see a series based on that. I don't think we'll get it.
You know what? I want... I would like in the future to spin off a discussion about this whole desire to see the Empire side of things, because it fascinates me both from how storytelling has changed over the years to, like, you've always had people who kind of resonate more with the bad guys. They always want to play the bad guys in the video games. They want to, you know, they've got the posters for the bad guys. It's all about the bad guys. And then you've got people now who are more about, well, you know, I probably would have ended up joining the Empire because that's just what would have been happening on whatever world I'm on. And that would have been my ticket off world. And I'm just, you know, getting wrapped up in the stuff. And it's almost more a difference in the type of storytelling today in the whole shades of gray aspect. I'd like to have a discussion later on, and I've got a couple of guests.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I think that I'd like to bring on Justin to kind of tackle that angle, because I've got some really strongly mixed feelings about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that'd be a fun discussion, I think, at some point. Since we are talking animated stuff, and I know that last week we kept Tim from watching The Return of Rebels.
Last week, you did it again tonight.
Tim, I'm so sorry.
And you know what? Because you were a half hour late to the recording, Lou, we actually could have watched Rebels at least the first episode.
I wasn't a half hour late. We scheduled, and I was on time. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
We did our bonus content. Okay. Well,
should we discuss a little bit of Rebels? Or did you guys both watch, I assume, last week?
Last week.
A good.
I'm watching this week's right now.
Did you guys think it was a fitting return? Was it deep enough for us? Did it answer?
We should probably throw in a spoiler warning, I think, at this point. Okay. There are some people who are still catching up, sadly. And I wouldn't be too concerned about it, except they started out the return with a bang. And there are only 3 weeks worth of content. So I think that each week is going to end up being so important.
Yep.
Because we're doing two episodes, then two episodes, then three episodes.
It wasn't so much of a bang as a boom.
Yeah. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is your spoiler warning for this episode. Now, don't forget, if you're a podcast player, supports chapter markers, you can skip ahead. And it'll bypass this spoiler, but stay in the episode and you can finish the rest of the show.
There you go.
So there you go. If your player supports that.
Okay. So now that the spoiler warning's out of the way, we are going to talk. We are going to talk spoilers.
I'm sorry. That was.
Yeah. No,
that was a clip from the show.
I heard the scream. Thanks. Yeah. We made some predictions about who we thought was going to stick around, who we thought was going to leave, and so forth. We kind of all saw this one coming, and I'm talking about the big boom at the end of the first half hour of the
earth shattering kaboom. There was supposed to be an earth shattering kaboom. Yeah. This time there was.
So Kanan is no longer with us. Dark episode.
What do you mean? He was kidnapped.
No, he wasn't kidnapped. He went up in a ball of flame.
Yay. All right.
Why are you clapping for that? Wow.
It was an emotional episode. I wasn't brought to tears, but it was like, wow, I didn't think we were going to do it that way that quickly.
Well, there are a lot of people who expected it to have been in the finale of the first half of the season as well, instead of saving it for the premiere. I think that, the more I look at it, I think the timing made a lot of sense. If they had done it prior to the season break, then there would have been so many people, us included, who were analyzing it to death. And I think that would have set people up for coming up with their own set of expectations that had nothing to do with what was going to actually be delivered when it came back.
Okay. Yeah, I see your point.
And right now, the Star Wars fan community has a big problem with getting wrapped up in their expectations.
No, come on. When have Star Wars fans ever anticipated something so much that they made it worse than it really was? Come on.
So I will say this. I applaud Dave Filoni. I'm not always the biggest Dave Filoni fan. I have a ton of respect for the guy and the work that he's done. I think there are some tactical and strategic decisions he makes that maybe aren't the greatest. So I'm not this diehard Filoni fan, but I am a fan. I applaud the fact that he seems to be so in tune with what's going on in the fan community right now that he had the foresight to not do it then and to do it now instead, because in doing it now, nobody's really complaining about how it was done and all that. I mean, people are sad, but it's like, it's okay. If he'd done it before, again, I think everybody would have been so all over the place that when they brought it back, nobody would have been satisfied with what they did with the story upon the return. Mm. Now, in doing it so, doing it so early, it gets away from having, again, we've got 3 weeks. So we've got 2, 4, we've got 7 episodes, but really it's 3 nights of viewing. You're going to sit down and watch an hour, and then you're going to sit down and watch an hour, and then you're going to sit down and watch an hour and a half. So call it 3 extended episodes. If they did it closer to the end, then that is the finale. That is the big moment at the end. And I think that this story is more epic than that. I think they need to have this kind of this heartache and a resolution to have it be a more heroic ending. If they made the decision to kill Kanan off and had that be at the end, I think it would be too sad and too much of a downer. Having it now gives them a chance to recover from it in the show. And I think that's important.
Do you think they're spreading out the pain? You know, a little bit this week, a little bit next week, a lot of it the week after. I mean,
I think that they're giving us an opportunity to cope with the pain.
Okay.
Along with the characters in the show. I think that they're using that. I mean, keep in mind, Lou, you said it earlier on, it's a kid show. Mm. So I think what they're doing is they are steering us through the coping process in these last 5 episodes.
Okay.
And I think younger viewers kind of need that. They need to know that the heroes are okay emotionally. They need to know that the death was heroic. They need to kind of be told that it's okay, it was meaningful, and it's okay to be sad about it because the other heroes are sad too. But you know, they're doing the whole Mr. Rogers Sesame Street thing. They're it's okay to feel how you feel. Our heroes feel the same way, and we're going to guide you through it and help you.
Okay.
And I think that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, sure. Good point. Was it just me? And I shouldn't say it's just me, because I've seen some people talking about it online too. Kanan getting his sight back at the very last second, does that mean anything to you guys? I saw it, but it didn't really strike a chord with me.
I'll be honest. I was a little distracted in that particular scene and I missed that. I mean, I think
it was basically the camera zoomed in on his face and you saw his eyes go from opaque back to kind of the normal color. And you know, it was interesting. I mean, obviously there's some kind of force connection there where the period of time that he was blind was kind of, I mean, what I'm taking from it was that was something that he had to endure. And obviously he largely overcame it. We saw after a couple episodes of him fumbling around blind that he was able to become a functioning member of the group again. And, you know, really capitalized on his force abilities to sense where he was and who was around him and what he was doing and all that. And so it was very meaningful in that last moment before he died, particularly to see Hera again.
Yeah.
And I think that was really the intent of that, was for him to see Hera with his own eyes before he died.
Yeah. I think when I saw it, I didn't even pick up on it as being so much a literal thing as a symbolic thing. And again, I was a little bit distracted. And so when I saw his eyes kind of change, and I'm like, oh, well, that's a cool way to represent that. I guess it never even occurred to me that it could be literal.
Mm.
I just saw it as kind of a metaphoric, like he is seeing her as if that is actually seeing her, and then he dies. I processed it differently, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't even think twice about the whole seeing Hera thing. I thought it was just him getting kind of clarity as he was transitioning into the Force. But yeah, seeing Hera, that is a whole new level of, you know, oh man, that really hurts. You know, when you think about it that way.
Right.
Cause it was also, you know, I don't think it was real to me until, you know, he came out and, you know, confessed his love for Hera. And then you're like, okay, now it's all over. You know, it's going to be over when that happened. It was like,
yeah, they kind of, the foreshadowing was a little heavy.
It was, but it's just that, you know, what a way to end it. I mean, just like I said, it was an emotional episode to me. It really was. And I don't usually get emotional in television stuff, especially cartoons, but it was a heavy episode.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh yeah, it definitely was. The episode after that seemed to be, it wasn't a bad episode. It was just kind of flat. And I think it was intended to be that because
you need that time to decompress after
as
emotion.
Right.
Exactly. As the team needed to heal and deal with what they were doing, they recognized the audience needed that too. And I like the fact that, you know, Zeb wanted to basically go all out and just, you know, kill everybody. And Sabine was able to calm him down. And Hera was able to come to terms with Kanan's death. And it and Ezra went on his weird journey, which was basically like Luke going into the cave. And, you know, we're obviously going to see a continuation of that in tonight's episodes. It was good. It was kind of more of the you know, cathartic kind of episode that I think we needed after Kanan's death.
So, have you guys heard any of the spoilers about tonight's episode?
No.
No.
Okay. I'll keep my mouth shut. There's, it's not a, I mean, and we're not talking like, oh, somebody dies sort of thing. It's, a storyline from the past is revisited, and
which is more, I'll leave it at
that. No, well, no, that's kind of so heavily implied that, I mean, this is another one of those things where as soon as I say it, it'll be, well, yeah, it's obvious. And the spoiler is more about the timing that it's tonight as opposed to next week. But the thing is, when we're doing two episodes tonight, three episodes next week, and we're done, you know, the timing is kind
it's
of
pretty quick. Yeah.
You know, it's either 1 week or it's the next.
I mean, and I'm still not sure if I like this whole two episodes a week thing versus giving us each week a half hour.
Well, I think I'm with you on that, Lou.
I kind of wish it was spread out more. You know, it seems like it's happening awful quick.
I'm thankful we don't have a Rebels review show because that would be hellish.
I think it makes sense in the fact that I think, Tim, you were the one who was just saying it, that it gives us kind of a chance to have some downtime after Kanan's death. If we had it spaced out this next week's episode, I think we would have been looking for more and we would have gotten just kind of a fluff piece. And so I think that it's good that at least for this past week, they did the two of them back to back. Now for the rest of them, I'm kind of with you, Lou. I'd like them maybe spaced out a little bit, but that's not what people want anymore. Everything's binge watching.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the two episodes after we get done with this recording. I'm going to watch them and, you know, two and a half hours. That's all we got left.
Let me ask you a question then. Not related to this past week's episode or anything, but what do you guys think of, I mean, you mentioned Mortis. We know that's coming. We all know that Ahsoka's coming back because Dave Filoni's whole, I'm wearing a t-shirt, but I'm not telling you anything. And I'm not commenting on the fact that I just changed the t-shirt at Celebration. You know, that whole, ha ha ha. What do you think about the whole Ahsoka thing? What do you want to see in that? I mean, it's not the storyline for the show. It's very much a B plot because she is not the hero of this series. She's the hero of the previous series. But you know she's coming back. What do you guys want to see out of her storyline, if anything?
Well, I hope, in fact, that she is. I mean, it's I could definitely see that, you know, we could be getting toyed with by Filoni. But we also know that Ahsoka is hands down Filoni's favorite creation. And rightfully so. She has came out to be an absolutely incredible character. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll kind of go to the thing that I mentioned several episodes ago, almost tongue in cheek. And the more time that goes by and the more I talk about it, the more I want it to happen. But I would love to see her somehow get co-opted with Thrawn to go out into the unknown regions for Thrawn's trilogy.
Oh, Tim.
Because I think it would be a great way to get a very powerful Force user out of the galaxy without killing her off. And I don't know, you know, right now, I really like what you said, Eric. The series is not about her.
Right.
You know, she's a minor, she's a prominent character, but she's a minor character. And for them to, if she is going to return, for them to have to come up with a way to get rid of her. I'm not necessarily saying kill her, but they have to get rid of her. She is has been for a period of time, a central part of this fledgling rebellion.
They have to resolve her.
And yes, something has to happen with her. So it seems odd that when they have the rest of the team that they have to deal with, it's like, oh yeah, we have Ahsoka too, that we have to do something with. There's a lot of characters that they have to figure out in very little time to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Lou said, there's 2.5 hours left. Boy, this is tough. This is really tough.
Do everything they have to do and do something with Ahsoka. Yeah, I don't know how you write that, but I mean, I don't really know what I want from Ahsoka at the end of the series. I mean, I love the character. I want something to happen for her that we can be satisfied with. You know, it doesn't have to be good. Doesn't have to be bad. It just has to be something that we can say, okay, that fits her character. It's so tough when you know you can't go forward and have her doing stuff that's important later on. So either kill her off or you make her just kind of fade away.
Right.
Yeah. And if she fades away, that's pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah. You can't. The only way you can do that is if then there's going to be a after Rebels TV series starring Ahsoka. Like you still.
Yeah.
You either carry her forward indefinitely and resolve her later, or you resolve her now. So unless you have specific plans for her in the next follow-up series, you're done. You have to resolve her now. And yet you can't have her steal the limelight now that you're finally wrapping up the storylines for Ezra and Hera and Kanan and everybody else. She can't take that away from the main characters.
Well, what if she fades away for now and turns up as a key component to the Resistance?
I'm okay with that. We don't know how long her race's lifespan is. I mean, she could be around for a long time. Same with Hera.
They would have to come up with a really good reason as to why she wasn't around for this, you know, the big fight against the Empire. I mean, we're heading into presumably the end of Rebels is going to butt up against Rogue One.
Well, which she had a broken ankle.
Well, the good reason is she's not in the movies, and we can't really have her do anything important. So that's the good reason.
Well, she was sick that day.
Yeah, I mean, they would seriously have to retcon something in. She would have to be on some side adventure with
Thrawn,
I don't know, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Someplace
outside of the galaxy.
How about she goes undercover, deep undercover, and she's in the Empire? I don't hear any crickets, so... Is this on? Can you guys hear me? Did I?
Yeah. If you explain how, then we will come up with a better rebuttal as to why you're crazy. But now we're still kind of in that limbo of what is he? How much has he been drinking tonight?
Come on. She could be an undercover. She could be an Imperial agent.
Yeah. No, she would blend in so well. Nobody would ever know.
Because there were so many aliens in the Empire. You're right. Yeah.
Right.
She could just tuck the head things down, and we should wear big hats.
Sure.
Big hats.
Just wear a fedora. It'll cover it up.
Big hats. Okay, so I'm off base with that one.
Do you, Do you have a fun fact or trivia for us?
I do. And my fun fact is really just kind of pure trivia this week. I decided to do a little research on my own and kind of learn some things that I hadn't known before. And you guys might. So who knows? But I was diving into the history of games and more intently just the whole LucasArts and how they started and what they were doing in the beginning and when they started. So first off, do you guys know what the original name of LucasArts was? Because they had gone by a different name when they started it. And they started in 1982.
No idea.
Eric's thinking. I can smell the smoke.
So I'm trying to think of what games they would have come out with back in 1982. Well, the only game Star Wars related I could think of in 82 would have been some console games.
See, that was something that threw me too, because they didn't. Well, we'll get into that, because that's part of my question too. So originally 82, the company was founded as Lucasfilm Games. And it transitioned into
very generic,
right?
Yeah.
And they had an association with Atari back then. They were helping them get off the ground, but they didn't do any Star Wars titles for quite some time. I mean, their first game was in 84, and it was Ball Blazer, which I'd never heard of, never played. When was their first Star Wars title, their first solely produced by themselves Star Wars title released? Do you guys have any idea what it was?
You know, the first Star Wars title I remember being produced was the Star Wars arcade game, but I think that was Bally Midway. Or no, it would have been Coleco, I think, because it was available for the ColecoVision home system.
Okay.
I don't think there was...
But that wasn't produced by them entirely. There was a lot of games that were done by somebody else under Lucas.
And I'm trying to think, the Atari 2600, if there was any sort of Star Wars game for that, and I don't recall one.
Nope.
The Nintendo system, one of them, maybe Super Nintendo, had some games. And I think those were from LucasArts. No, I don't remember what the initial releases would have been.
Well, the first solely produced game by LucasArts, or I don't know when they changed over to LucasArts, but the first game was actually X-Wing.
Really?
Yep. February of
93.
But that was the first one that was solely in-house development from them. And up until
For the PC.
Right, for the PC.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Up until then, they didn't do any Star Wars games because they didn't have a license for it.
What?
Oh.
Broderbund had the license for all Star Wars stuff through 1992.
No kidding.
Broderbund. Yeah. There's a name I haven't heard in ages.
And they had games like, I'm trying to get through here to list. They had a Star Wars game that was the movie, version of a game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's see. They had, where were they? Let's see. Yeah, Star Wars was in 91. And they had a bunch of Empire Strikes Back, Super Star Wars. Those were all ones that came out. LucasArts with somebody else doing them. And then the first one that was, Lucasfilm LucasArts was X-Wing. And then, of course, they had TIE Fighter and TIE Fighter versus X-Wing and, all the ones that came after that, which were great games.
Loved every one of them.
Yeah, definitely. And, it wasn't until then, playing those games, that the whole line of set your deflectors to double front made any sense to me. I'm like, that makes perfect sense now. Yeah.
Which is actually a really good suggestion.
I spent countless hours either protecting cargo containers or trying to destroy them.
Exactly. Yeah. That was cool. You got to play both sides of the whole thing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Fly X-Wing, fly the TIE Fighter. So,
I love the TIE Defender. That was the big, it's not really a TIE Fighter. This isn't from the movies and it's got shields and it's awesome.
So there's a lot more trivia in there, and I encourage people to go out there and read up on LucasArts and the whole history of the gaming thing, if you're into games, of course. But I learned a lot by doing this. I was like, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that, the game company that Lucas started in 82 didn't have the license for his own stuff until 93 or 92. I'm like, that's interesting.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they probably just didn't have they weren't ready to have their own game company at that point. It was easier and safer for them to outsource it.
Sure.
And by the time they wanted to do it, they already had agreements and people were doing stuff for them. So they had to wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. Yeah. It's really interesting.
So, that's all I got, but I figured it was kind of cool to get dive into. So,
yeah.
Great. I like it.
I miss the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games.
Yeah. If I could find a download of them somewhere, I would love to play them. Really?
I think, is it GOG.com? I think you can get like legal copies of the games. I think they've got both there.
Oh, that's outstanding.
I would love to see an updated version, though. I mean, give me something that's...
Yeah, I mean, they're not remastered or anything.
Right. I mean, give me a playable version for the PS4. I'm all over that. That'd be awesome.
You know, I really don't understand that, though, because when you look back at the most popular, most well-loved and critically acclaimed Star Wars games ever, the X-Wing games are at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic are probably a very close second place. Why have we gone so long without having a Star Wars flight simulator game? It's been decades and there's such a market for it. It's untouched. Mm-hmm. Like nobody else is doing it right now. This is the perfect time to bring it back.
Yep.
And I don't get it. Plus the technology is so far advanced now.
No, it sure is.
They were talking, I mean, they were really talking up the Battlefront VR thing and being inside the cockpit and all that. It doesn't have to be VR. It looked good enough just to sit there with your PS4 controller in place. So why don't we have that yet?
Yeah.
And where are our Star Wars RPG games? Again, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And presumably that might have been something they were working on before the carpet got pulled out from underneath everybody recently. But
Right. When they shut down in 2013.
Right. I mean, if people loved those types of games so much, let's bring those back instead of chasing our tails with all this other nonsense.
And there's so many different styles of games that are out there that are still popular in different circles. I mean, whether it's an RPG or a first-person shooter or a flight sim or, something, a real-time strategy game, you could make one for each of those and probably sell a boatload of copies as long as the content was good. I mean... doesn't have to be everything that's subscription-based online, multiplayer games like everything is going towards. There's still, a desire for these other games, and we're just not getting them. Sadly, we're not going to fix that and change that. So,
not this week.
No, maybe next. You guys got anything else?
No, I'm all out.
No, just an episode of Rebels we got to get to.
That's right. I'm the only thing staying between Tim and watching Rebels, so I will make this quick. If anybody has any questions for us or wants to comment on stuff we've talked about today, send us an email. Best way to do that is to send an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. That goes to all three of us.
And you can find us online on Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatter. That'll get you the entire network. You can find us on Twitter at Random Chatter for the network, or for just this podcast at Echo Base Podcast. And you can find the rest of us on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you?
You can just find me at my name. It's LOUSECKI.
And Tim?
It's at Qui-Gon Tim. Tim with two M's.
And you can find us on Instagram now, too. Now, our Instagram Star Wars account is Outer Rim Network. And that is because we are soon going to be rebranding a Star Wars sub network as the Outer Rim Network. More news on that soon. Give us a couple of weeks to get everything nailed down there. And there's a Random Chatter Instagram account as well, Lou. Is that correct?
Yep. Just a Random Chatter. We're getting some good feedback on there and people are starting to follow us. And I'm doing mainly movie stuff there coming up and asking for feedback from people on what they're looking for, what they've seen, what they want to see, what they're looking forward to, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's excellent. Fun.
All right. And you can find all of our other shows over at randomchatter.com.
And please, please help spread the word about us and support us. The Echo Base Podcast has been around for a long time, but we are still growing. We're still getting new listeners. And we love it. We love hearing from them. We have folks who discover us, who let us know on Twitter. We have folks who are joining us on Discord, getting emails from new listeners, and it's a great time. So some of the best ways to do that, please, first of all, tell other people about us. Word of mouth is really the best way that podcasts grow. So whether you're talking to friends, you're talking to coworkers, family members who like Star Wars, it also helps even on Twitter. When we release a new episode, that goes out on the Random Chatter and Echo Base Twitter feeds. Retweet those. Yes, make sure that you please follow us, retweet those, so that way it hits all of your followers. And hopefully that, you know, your followers will pay attention to that. And, that little bit of a recommendation can definitely help. Also helps to leave us some reviews. So iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you get your podcast from, click on all the stars, write in some good stuff. Let people know why you like us and why you like listening to us. We also appreciate some financial support. The way to do that is randomchatter.com/Patreon. From there, even just $1 a month, which happens to be the minimum contribution you can make, $1 a month gets you full access to our Discord community. And we've been talking for probably the last year and a half or so about Slack. Slack has now moved over to Discord because Discord offers us a ton of additional functionality and really benefits for the folks who are part of that community. One great thing is that if you are not quite sure if you want to commit to that $1 a month and you're not quite sure about that whole Discord thing, well, I'll tell you what, head over to randomchatter.com/Discord. You'll create a Discord account. And that will get you access to our public lobby. A lot of discussion happens every single day for a good part of the day in that public lobby among our different show hosts and a lot of other listeners and fans who are in there. And you'll kind of get a sense for the community and the information that we share and the news that's out there. And that should give you a good taste for it. And we actually had, I think, someone pretty recently who went in there. They only spent like a few hours in there and then said, hey, you know what? I want to see more. They went over to Patreon. They threw us that buck a month. And now they have access to almost everything in Discord, which is just like a ton of channels. And it grows pretty regularly. There are channels on that are centered on the show. So there's an Echo Base show. There's a Random Chatter show. There's a Movie Rampage show, et cetera. And there are also topical rooms in there as well. So if you want to talk about movies or you want to talk about Star Wars Rebels, you want to talk about TV shows, you want to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. specifically, whatever the case may be, we've got a ton of rooms in there for it. So you can have really focused discussions with a lot of like-minded people, and it's a really good time. So that's what you get for $1 a month. You can bump that up to $5 a month, and yep, you'll still get access to Discord, and you'll get access to bonus content and early release type of things and other things that we're doing. $10 a month gets you more. $15 a month gets you even more. And we're continuing to throw different things out there because Discord links up very well with Twitch. We may be doing some live video broadcasts of some podcasts in the future. We're going to be doing movie night where we're watching movies or TV shows or something like that. And you'll get to join us in our ridiculous commentary of those as we watch them. There's so many things that we have slated, so many things that we're working on as we continue to grow and have a lot of fun doing it. So please consider becoming a Patreon donor, and that just gets you access to so much of the stuff that we're doing. And thank you.
I want to throw one thing out there regarding the Random Chatter Theater. You referred to movie nights. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing some television-based stuff with that too. And one of the first things I think we're going to do with that is to go over the Mortis trilogy from Clone Wars.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Now that it's tying into Rebels. Mm-hmm. So contact us if you want more information about movie night, but basically it's kind of us all hanging out, us being you guys too, okay, at the $5 donation level and higher, hanging out and watching the Clone Wars together, specifically in this case, the Mortis trilogy. And, you know, maybe we'll go back and watch the whole Clone Wars series. I don't know. That's something we're talking about right now, is what we want to do next with that. But it's not just going to be movie nights. It's also going to be specifically some Star Wars based content. And I am really looking forward to being able to discuss with all of you what's going on with the Mortis trilogy and how it relates to what's going on with Rebels right now.
We definitely got to make sure that Josh is in on that, because Josh, who is part of our Discord community, this dude knows everything there is to know about Mortis, and his stuff, his knowledge of it is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And I don't. I'm far from being a Clone Wars expert. So
same here.
This is one of those areas in which I'm really looking forward to you guys educating me, mm-hmm. and I guess maybe Tim as well. We don't claim to be experts on everything with Star Wars. We try to bring interesting perspectives, but hey, I mean, we got some experts out there in the audience too. So yep. This is an arena where we can all come together and share our knowledge and perspectives with one another, not just with the hosts here on the show. So
definitely,
it's going to be awesome. All right, well, that's it. The music you hear in this podcast is The Imperial March by Celldweller and The Force Theme by Scandroid.
At this point, we're going to close the blast doors, and we'll see you guys in about a week.